Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Black won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. And I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 or 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor, that is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisoners in the United States are black people. You know you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March, who cares? Marching, they never changed anything.
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. He messed around. He saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I won't know what's in the door. He said, you sure you won't see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you're having is When God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way because your package is going to keep going right on by because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go over on Pity Way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it's on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will come.
Let me hear you. That's how we work. Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But, man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, shoot it! So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles. The kid no one would pick. Was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
All right. We got an announcement, an official announcement today to start the week off. We have been, our brand for the last 9 years, because we've been on here 9+ years now on Blog Talk Radio, has been It's My House. It's My House. I'm not going to go into the history of that, but anyway, it's been It's My House. However, over this weekend, we had a name change, and it goes across all of our social media. And the name change, basically, we want to simplify what It's My House really meant at the core. And I'll tell you a story behind that one, which connects to It's My House. But anyway, so our new name is DIY Housing TV. DIY Housing TV. Last Friday it was It's My House TV. Now it's DIY, Do It Yourself Housing Television. All right, and that's our moniker on here on Blog Talk Radio, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Pinterest, can't think of anything else right now. It's DIY Housing TV. All right. Now, let me give you part of the backstory on that. Now, It's My House was originally created. That was a saying that came out of a squatter that I had to deal with a decade ago. Because when I was sending repair people over for the to the house, they would say, it's not his house, it's my house. So that ended up being, that's what we originally called this podcast at the beginning, It's My House, and we ran it up until today under that name, It's My House. But I ran across another show which reminded me of part of the origins of, what we're doing. And actually came, the solution came through my mother. This particular squatter, their father was a contractor. And they had a brother-in-law who was a general contractor also. So my mother told me to tell this particular person, happened to be a woman with a child, that she, you know, suggested her that have her father and brother-in-law build her a house. Okay. And they start a business together, dad, brother-in-law, and herself, because she had the skills of a secretary, an administrative assistant, an organizer. She was pretty good at it, too. But I got cussed out for that. So anyway, we took that and then took that energy about a year later and started this podcast, which at the beginning the brand was It's My House until today. So over this weekend. So this past weekend. So DIY, do-it-yourself, housing TV. Now, the mission statement of DIY Housing TV is we teach people how to build their own off-grid house, period. That's it. It's as simple as that. We teach people how to build their own house. And if you look at the history of housing, and mankind, okay, and look it up, you people who are online right now, put in what's the oldest civilization on the planet, or what's the oldest town, that's a better keyword. What's the oldest city or oldest oldest town on the planet? Because you have some towns that have been around on this planet consistently for over 3,000 years. Some go as far back as 7,000 years. All right, so, you know, back during the days of, God, you name it, Jesus or Moses or Abraham or whoever you want to name, all right, people built their homes via their they built them by themselves, or more than likely, they had the help of family and friends or a combination of those three, themselves, family, and friends. And that's what I call social capital. Social capital, which was used to build houses, huts, castles, towns, you name it, they didn't go to banks, because banks, as we know them, didn't exist way back that far. They used social capital. And in order to build your home or do anything using social capital, you know, there's a lot of things that go that are attached to social capital. You have to have some type of positive social relationship with the other person or persons. Once again, families that were on the right terms, that got along with each other, that's social capital. In other words, if you need help, they'll help you. If you're on the outs with that particular blood relative, they're not going to help you. You don't have any social capital between you and them. So civilization, the number one financing tool that has house mankind. Like I said, from a hut to castles of England and Scotland and wherever else, to plantations, to the black townships, they were built on social capital. Ships were built on social capital. I can't think of not one civilization, particularly ancient civilization, did not use social capital as a form of primary commerce. Simple as that. Today, the Amish still use social capital within their communities to build homes, barns, and you know, dwellings for businesses, brick and mortar for businesses within their community. The Mennonites do it as well, and so do the Hutterites, and there are other groups around that do it as well. All right, so our mission, once again, is simple. It's a sentence: to teach people how to build off-grid housing using social capital. That's our mission statement here at DIY Housing TV. All right, now, on today's program, folks, we're not going to hit all this today, but we'll have future podcasts where we're going to, you know, basically educate people who need to be educated, not everybody, but some people that do, on social capital science. Now, the word science means knowledge. Now, I'll give you a good example, and I'm not knocking this example, that if you have a person that has to go into social services because they don't, typically a person that has to go to social services, typically, their social network is either bankrupt or, in other words, they don't have family or friends that they can go to if they need something to eat, if they need $5 for whatever, or they need to pay a light bill, or they need to pay a rent or a mortgage payment or a car note. If your social network is large enough and you're on good terms with the vast majority of those people, then you can go to your social network and basically get anything that you need materially. Once again, mankind civilization that goes back to at least 7,000 years. You know, what did people do 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years ago when they were hungry, and there was no Whole Foods around or grocery store around as we know it today? Now, of course, they did have markets, and then some people, you know, had enough social capital where, all right, they didn't have a shekel or whatever, but they had enough social capital to get food for their family. So, well, not today, but we'll have other future podcasts on social capital science, social capital literacy, social capital illiteracy. I'll give an example. On the internet, there is a website that I think everybody needs to check out called Couchsurfing. Couchsurfing. Now, I don't know what the current status of it is. I mean, I know it's still online. But with Couchsurfing, you can make friends building your social capital with people around the globe. And if you connect on the same page with these people, then if you're in Bulgaria, Moscow, Timbuktu, Chicago, Bolivia, someplace, Cochabamba, Bolivia, and you need a place to stay, there's a couch for you or a garage or a spare bedroom that's available for you. Check out the site, Couchsurfing. That whole site is about not, unless they've monetized it some kind of way, or the people who list on there some kind of way, but Couchsurfing is basically for people that are interested in building up social capital where a person in a foreign country or even a city right in your particular country, wherever, what country that you might be in right now as you listen to this live stream. It's a place where you can go and not pay a penny and have a place to sleep. It might be for a night. It might be for two nights. It might be for whatever you two feel comfortable negotiating. It might include food. It might not include food. Okay, but check it out, Couchsurfing. That site is based on the concept of social capital. Now, the Nine Friends video that I played, that's about social capital. Hold on, let me go down the list. So we're going to talk as the weeks go by, I mean all throughout the year from here on out, how to develop social capital if you don't have any or not enough. Because a lot of times, a lot of us don't have enough social capital. Most of us have some, but a lot of times we don't have enough. Now, I'm going to give you an example. This is not to be churchy or religious or anything like this, but one good example is Jesus. Jesus Christ, the first thing he did before he officially started his ministry or at the start of his ministry, the very first thing that he did was he networked, he built social capital in finding 12 disciples. Now, some of you believe that he was God in the flesh, and I'm not going to dispute that, but I'm just saying now, if he is God in the flesh, now if God's got to do that, okay, what do you think you have to do? So the first thing that he did was he organized 12 disciples. You can be an atheist on this one, but the first thing that he did is he networked, because he didn't meet 12 people on day one. He had to build some, and we don't know what he did. He was a carpenter. We don't know what, maybe he had to build a table for somebody, a chair, a bed, a bedroom, a house full of furniture. Don't know specifically how he built that social capital to meet those 12 people. And you notice the miracles that he performed didn't have, there's no recording of any miracles that he did until after he had assembled his 12 disciples. So if you need a miracle in your life, a financial miracle, any kind of miracle, the first step that you need to do, and you can be a stone cold atheist in this one, is organize a team of people. It might not be 12 people. You might be able to work miracles with just one other person, but you're going to need more than yourself to pull off these miracles, any kind of miracles. And we all need miracles from time to time in this life. All right. Now, in his ministry, he was constantly making social capital. When he fed 5,000 people, when you're feeding people, that's social capital. Now, how can we apply that principle in 2023? Let's say you want to build you a house, and you ain't got jack shit, materially speaking. You might have about $100. If that. Let's put it at 100. You got $100. Matter of fact, you know what? Let's strip that away. You ain't got nothing. You don't have any tools. You don't have the skill set. You don't have the money, but you want to build a house. You need shelter over your head. Well, I'm going to play this audio, which I've played on here a gazillion times, and we're going to show you how you can immediately, starting from zero, build yourself some social capital and enough social capital where you can build a house.
I say some shit to y'all that I seen yesterday that made me smile, but it hurt me to my heart. There's a house next door to me that's been abandoned, and the yard, the grass high as hell and everything. There's a couple of abandoned cars out there beside the house. Well, yesterday I get off work about 7 o'clock. A Mexican guy pulled up. He said, "These your cars?" I said, "No." He said, "I just bought this house, man." I said, "All right, that's what's up." He was like, "You know whose cars these is?" He said, "No." He said, "Well, I bought the house, not the cars." Okay, I'm like, cool. I'm thinking he's just coming to look at the house. I go back in the house, do a little straighten up. I swear to God, I walk back at the house. Now, I'm getting off about 7:20. It's fucking 9 Mexican trucks just pull up. They got fucking beer, lights, and shit, right? So I'm like, what y'all finna do? He said, "We finna fix this house." I said, "What kind of crew you got working after 7 o'clock? He said, "These my friends." The fucking house is fixed this morning. They went in there and drywalled that fucking house. Wow. I just left out of there. It was a fucking abandoned house. That bitch looked new this morning. Whew. It was an abandoned fucking house, and it looked new this morning. It's an old African proverb: many hands make light work. I just don't think they're better than us. I just think we won't do nothing together. Wow. You're not hearing what the fuck I'm saying. It was an abandoned house yesterday at 7:15. That bitch is new this morning. He bought a tax lien house. I can't wait to see what they do. I can't wait to see, is one family gonna live in there? Is they gonna, I'm going to get to know the motherfuckers. You best believe me, when I make some money, I'm going to do it. I'm going to bring us together. And I'm not fucking with a lot of people.
All right, now let's break. Let's take what we just heard, the audio we heard, which I call 9 Friends, and let's break that down. In a social capital sense. Once again, let's say you want a house, you want to build a house, and in this case, they rehab a regular house, but we're going to say you want to build, let's say a tiny house, let's say it's, my definition of tiny, 399 square feet or less. So let's put it at, you know what, I'm going to say a small house. Small house, it starts for me at 400 square feet let's take it up to 500 square feet. Small house, okay. 500 square feet, you'll have enough for, I'd say 4 people. 4 people can live in a 500 square foot small house, okay. Now, you have no money at all. You have no tools at all to build this $500 square foot small house. You have no money, you have no tools, you have no personal skills as far as carpentry goes for this. You have no materials on hand. Yet you want this house. And let's say it's Monday, and you want to let's say you want this built by this coming, let's say Wednesday. Well, no, let's make it this weekend. Over this coming weekend coming up, because today's Monday. Okay. But what you do have, and let's say your credit is shot, your bank credit is shot, you can't borrow anything from any bank, your credit score is shot, but What you do have is you have 9 friends. You're on good terms with these 9 friends. You and these 9 people, you're friends. So you call each one up and you have a conversation. You have goodwill with these friends because in the past, they've helped you out and you know, you've helped them out for various things. That's what friends do. So, and you got a special relationship with these 9 friends. So you tell them your situation. So one of the things that gets people out to help you is food. Food is a marketing magnet. So you call each one of your 9 friends and explain your situation. And now here's the thing that we know off the bat based on audio that we just played. First thing, and this comes with resources, all 9 friends that this guy called had pickup trucks. And you're going to need that so you can tote materials or whatever. So that's 9 pickup trucks. That's 9 vehicles that you didn't have to pay for because you have social capital. The next thing is you ask these various friends, look, we got this schedule. We want to, you know, construct this house from scratch starting Friday. And, you know, we're going to need to feed people, and we're going to do potluck. All right, could you bring something? So out of the 9 friends, you know, some people say, all right, I got the pretzels and the peanuts and the potato chips. Other person, I'll bring some packs of Kool-Aid. Another person says, I'll bring water. Another person says they're going to, you know, bring some ground beef, some packs of ground beef that they, you know, somebody's got to hook up at Costco or Walmart. Look, Costco, some discounted place where they can get ground beef at a wholesale price and get some pasta and make some spaghetti, make some chili, inexpensive foods that will fill you up. Another person's bringing some bread, so the other person's bringing butter. So between now, mind you, you got 9 friends, but with those 9 friends, tell them to invite at least one other person. So now, excuse me, your 9 friends is multiplied to 18 friends. So now you got 18 friends bringing food and refreshments. Nobody's asking you for a nickel. Why? Because you've got social capital with the original 9. The other 9 that they invite individually, and some of them might invite more than 9, because with pickup trucks, you know, you could have a cab that fits 2 people, a cab that might fit 5 people, and then some people in the back. But I'm just saying it's going to be a bare minimum of 18 people. That's social capital. Every tool that you need, every drill, every hammer, every miter saw, any kind of power tool that you need, it's all provided because you have good social capital. These original 9 are vouching for you. And then some of them are going to need help because some of them might want a place to stay. Or some of them already have a place to stay, but they want to do something extra where they have an income property, and then you go help them when they need help. That's how social capital works. It's done in the Amish community. It's done in the Mennonite community. It's done in the Hutterite community. Many Seventh-day Adventist. Matter of fact, you don't have to be a part of any religion. You just have to have some social capital among friends. Now, going back to the beginning of, like, say, the It's My House and, you know, the squatter, this particular squatter who had a dad who was a contractor and a brother-in-law was a contractor, let me give you some more background on this person. This person was socially bankrupt. her brother-in-law, who helped her move from one city to another town, and she was living in his house and her sister's house. She called, for whatever reason, called the police on him and his house. So her sister and him kicked her out of the house. She was on her way to a shelter. Now, what is a person who has a father who has his own house, a sister who has another sister who has her own place, an uncle who has his own place, and a baby's daddy? She was headed to a shelter. So looking back on it, I didn't see this at the time, this person, and no friends to go to, this person was headed to a shelter with her daughter because she was socially bankrupt. She had burnt the social capital bridges where she was living with her brother-in-law, who could have built her a house. She burnt that bridge between him and her sister, blood relations. Couldn't go to her mama's house and sleep on the couch, burnt that bridge. Couldn't go to her dad's house, burnt that bridge. Couldn't go to her sister's house, burnt that bridge. And couldn't go to her baby daddy's house, burnt that bridge. That's five bridges that she burnt. She was socially bankrupt. That's why she was headed towards the shelter. Now, she got in my house because she did have some social capital. But long story short, she eventually burnt that bridge down by squatting. So going back to what my mother suggested to her that I tell her, which I did and I got cussed out for, is have her father, and you know, if she had the she originally had the social capital to get a house built. So with our name change, DIY Housing TV. And once again, our mission is to teach people how to build their own house using social capital. Social capital for building houses, plantations, cities, and castles is over 6,000 or 7,000 years old on the planet. You don't need government. The guys who signed the Declaration of Independence on July 4, 1776, some of them had plantations. George Washington with Mount Vernon, Thomas Jefferson with Montezuma. None of them had bank loans. None of them had any kind of government program. FHA hadn't been invented yet. VA hadn't been invented yet. There were no special housing programs with special grants and loans and all this other stuff on the local, state, and federal level because it didn't exist on that day in July 4, 1776. They had to use social capital, and I already hear somebody in the peanut gallery saying slaves. Yeah, they use that too. But that's how they did it. You had to have slaves. Like I said, that's why I play the Nine Friends so much. You just had to have some friends. And it doesn't even have to be nine friends. Everything starts with one. It starts with you. Find one other person to help you. And a good way to build social capital is do a live stream on Facebook or a yard stream or YouTube, whip out the grill, and say, look, we're going to have a picnic and a barbecue. All are invited. If you bring a pack of hot dogs or bring this or that, DM me in the chat, call me up, text me to tell me what you're going to bring. Have some vittles there, and you got your crew. You got your crew. And that's how anybody within the sound of my voice, if you don't have any friends right now and you want to build something by Sunday to completion to move in, that's, you know, in a range of 400 to 500 square feet at least, okay, then That's one of the ways that you can build social capital. Start by calling. Matter of fact, you can make, I mean, it's called social media. Within a matter of minutes, you can go on several blog talk channels, YouTube, Instagram. You can make friends. Facebook alone has over a billion people a month log on to Facebook. You have friends out there that are waiting to meet you, but you got to be proactive. You make one move, and the universe will make big moves on your behalf. I'm just saying. So like I say, if you're lacking in anything materially speaking, start making friends. And we'll have workshops and classes on this, and, you know, because that's the way we're going to have to do it. So we're going to talk about, you know, how to develop social capital versus fiat money, social capital. You know what? It's better to have good credit with a friend than Wells Fargo Bank or any kind of bank. If you owe somebody money or whatever, pay them. Because when the bank says no, if you got a good friend, they can bail you out. Okay. Matter of fact, if you got enough good friends and goodwill, you don't even need to go to a bank. All right. Social capital is better than any credit report, score reporting agency. It's better than any social services office by any government. It's better than any municipal services offered. I mean, if you got enough friends, if you need security or protection, instead of calling the police, call a couple, so you can feel secure. You know, social capital is better than any government programs. Even social capital is better than reparations, but we're not getting into that today. So, anyway, that's my rant on that. And like I say, that's what social capital housing is about. So, once again, our mission is a sentence long, to teach people how to build their own off-the-grid house. Why off-the-grid house? So they will have low or no monthly utility bills. You have plenty of water, but no water bill. You have plenty of electricity for your flat screen TV and charging up your cell phones or smartphones or whatever, but it's done by solar, whatever. Social capital. That's it. That's our simple mission with do-it-yourself housing TV. And that's our moniker, DIY Housing TV on Facebook, Instagram, here on Blog Talk. What else is out there social? Let's see. Oh, and Twitter. Oh, and Pinterest. DIY Housing TV. Because as we do this, we're going to have to present social proof on a regular basis so you can actually see people learn how to build their own house. Social capital is probably the most valuable skill, or one of the most valuable skills that you have to develop. And some of you already have it already, but you constantly, as long as you live, you got to constantly just, you know, even if you get sick, you know, if you got enough friends, you're good to go. You know, that's sort of like self-insurance. Okay, 262, your mic is open. You might be on mute, 262. Okay, I believe I know who it is. Could have stepped away. So what we'll do before we go to the next caller, we'll be back in 3 minutes. Straight to the phone lines of 262 is able to take that. Or next, we'll go to the next caller in line.
You give me that funny feeling in my tummy. Well, you've heard the phrase, one man's trash is another man's treasure. Well, Steve Shives knows it's true. He's made a fortune thanks to some old scrap parts from a beat-up bus, and it all became a million-dollar business.
Steve Shives turned his backyard business into a million-dollar company in under 5 years.
I'm doing something that I love. I enjoy the fact that people appreciate it.
It wasn't always that way. When Steve and his wife Deirdre married, he was an unpaid associate pastor who earned money as a handyman.
I just couldn't quite make enough. And with that struggle, we started using credit cards.
I would use a credit card to buy groceries, put gas in the vehicle, and it wasn't just one credit card.
Before long, they were carrying $30,000 of debt.
I think we were just irresponsible in a lot of ways, in the ways that we spent money, because we still tithed. We were still faithful in our giving. In my mind, we were being good stewards by giving 10%. What I didn't know is that we were being bad stewards of the other 90.
When creditors started calling, Steve and Deirdre say they knew it was time to take a hard look at their finances.
I had this anger inside myself. You're the pastor of a church, and you're teaching people on tithing. And, you know, how in the world did you let this happen? And I said, God, I said, if you'll help me get out of this debt, I will never be in debt again, and I'll be faithful to whatever it is you give me.
Steve says that's when the Lord told him to cut his spending, increase his giving, and to tithe on the amount he needed to support his family.
God said, so if $1,000 a week is what you want, then $1,000 a week is what you have to sow towards.
I thought, well, if this is going to help us, and this is what God's told you to do, then we need to do it.
Steve began to work with their creditors to pay down their debt. Several companies gave him the option to settle for far less than he owed. With their debt reduced, the couple increased their giving again.
As we just began to prosper, you know, we'd give more and more, like, okay, give $150 this week.
Steve says that's when he learned that good stewardship can mean implementing an idea that comes from God.
I got the idea for building this little camping trailer. I built it and sold it on eBay in a day and a half. I started getting messages from people saying, would you consider building another one?
The company Runaway Campers was born. Within 3 months, they sold 9 more campers. The following year, they sold 140. To date, more than 1,500 people have bought one of Steve's trailers. Many weekends, Steve and Deirdre attend rallies to meet people who bought the campers. And when they do, they're quick to tell them about what God has done in their lives.
And they're like, tell me the story. And I, you know, I start telling the story, and I've told it hundreds of times. We can say, look at what God has done in our life, not because we're living the American dream or we're making lots of money, but look at the joy that comes when you really just totally give yourself to God. He'll give you more, so much more than you could ask or imagine.
Just look at the joy when you give yourself totally to God. Here's the promise from Matthew 25. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. And Steve walked that out. Here he is, a pastor. He's teaching tithing. He's living tithing. But he comes to the realization, I'm not doing right with the other 90%. I'm living beyond my means. I've got to bring that into line. And then God gives him a wonderful idea, and he says, that's a great idea. Let's start walking that out. And that simple idea turns into a million-dollar business, which is absolutely incredible. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given. So just resolve you're going to use well what you have, and you're just going to watch God, watch over His Word to perform it and perform it in your life.
All right, Steve Shives, I'm going to try to get him on here. Matter of fact, I'm going to call. But that, he started as a backyard business, and his business, a lot of those sales comes because he built a community. He built a community, an online community, which meets offline. And really, most of his sales might come really through social capital. He was able to build a million-dollar business primarily using social capital via social media. So let's see, we'll work on getting him on here. He's in Florida, too, about maybe 2 hours away from me. Anyway, 262, area code, your mic is open. Okay, 262 might be busy. All right, anybody else? What's the number here? 619-768-2945. If you got any comments, suggestions, information you want to share, announcements, call now. Just press 1 so we'll see your hand. And that's 619-768-2945. And we got in 262. More than likely, it's probably occupied right now. I got a feeling they might be babysitting.
Hi. I'm
oh,
here.
There you go. All right. Sound like you're just waking up.
Trying to keep the babies at
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what do you got for us this morning?
Well, I really, really enjoyed those simplified tiny home build podcasts that you shared. That was really awesome. So mm-hmm. I'm going to share that with the young people, and we're going to do some planning to get the volunteers on board, because honestly, the young people, the male youth, they work with me on certain projects that are like, you know, entertainment or basketball.
Now you might have to recruit some ladies now, you know, because one of
The ladies, okay. They work with me better on all levels. It's just, you know, I have sons, so I'm always looking to engage them. So, of course, mm-hmm. they're going to be involved, but the crew that actually they do the light hauling, the moving services, they're not prepared just yet. They got to be a little bit more serious, yeah. I'll have to go around and make sure my family members with like my great cousins, my cousin's children, you know, get them mm-hmm. involved as well. Because mm-hmm. I have one cousin, he has this beautiful video of teaching his sons how to repair a hinge on her gate, her wooden fence in the back.
Uh-huh.
That was awesome, yeah. So he does things like that with them. And he's a boxer, so that was so cool. So, yeah, construction.
There's this start off with, if you can find, like, at least one reliable person to start mm-hmm. off with. And
right,
then just
like
build from those people. Exactly.
Right, okay.
I would say that's the first assignment. Find one that...
Mm-hmm.
You get on the same page with, and then from there, find a place where you can build, which could be somebody's backyard, or it can be in a church parking lot.
Mm-hmm. I still have a Grand Byron parking lot that's available.
Well, there you go. So, Grand, now... It's still cold up that way, I take it, because you guys have winters, and yeah, your winters are kind of mm-hmm. long until what, April?
Yeah, mm-hmm. sometimes, yeah,
right.
Going into April.
So, well, anyway, but those are the first two things. You find one person, and then between the two, you find one location. But it seems like you already got the Grand Ballroom, that's the location.
Uh-huh.
And then between the two of you, you can come up with a strategy on maybe finding one or two other people, and then take inventory on what tools that you readily have access to. And if you're going to feed people, then come up with a a basic food budget. Now, you're not buying steaks or nothing like that, but, you know, I think people can be happy with finger foods, and Kool-Aid, or man, if you go to the dollar store, Dollar General, Farland General, you can buy apple juice.
That always works.
Whatever juice is out of there, right? And, you know, you can buy, or even Costco, because, like, say, if you go to a place like Costco or Sam's Club.
I do have a Sam's Club.
You can buy enough for, you can buy enough for your family and feed a crew on the cheap.
Right.
So it all depends on what you want, you know. Like, so you ain't got to roll out no steaks or nothing like that. It can be, you know, just for the first one, I would kind of sort of keep it. Like, if you got a project built, if you can say you're going to build it within a, let's say, anywhere from 4 to 8 hours max on a Saturday, okay, then you want to have refreshments throughout the day. You know, it could be granola bars, trail mix, cookies, candies, something like that. You definitely want to have enough there for hydration throughout the day. And then, you know, maybe, you know, hot dogs with that. You know, whatever you feel comfortable with and whatever the budget might be. You have to work with what you got. But as long as people get some type of refreshments in their system, they'll be happy campers. With some people, you know, let's say once you got through, let's say, your first successful project, your second project, you might have a budget in there where, okay, how many pizzas, you know, can you order, you know, from your local pizza joint? Because pizza's, you know, kind of popular, you know. So that can all go into your planning. And then once you get one or two projects done, you'll get more volunteers and you'll get more people that want to participate and or live in. I mean, then you'll be able to sell some things. And which you can, you know, they can see you build online. They'll come in person. And then while you're building, you have it a live stream on Facebook Live or Yard Stream or whatever. And then so by the time you've completed it, you got a price for it. And then people can get paid. So this starts that simple. So, anyway,
looking forward.
And let's see now. What are your hours of babysitting today? You're doing it all day. You got the day shift.
I am 6 to 6, but I do have the weekends open, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Oh, you got 6 to 6 today. What's a good time to call you back? Because me and you can plan on one end.
Okay, 8 o'clock. 7 is good. Yeah, they'll be
all right, 7 your
settled,
time, which will
dinner.
Be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right, be 8 my time. All right. Let's see, anybody else out there that wants to chime in, 619-768-2945, just press 1. I see some people in the studio over there and press 1. If you press 1, then your hand, well, a hand goes up, and then I can open up your mic. If you don't press 1, that means that you're either occupied, which is fine, or and then the dog, I don't know what the dog's been barking at. One of the dogs, is it two dogs and the pig here? So I don't know what he's barking at. Anyway. Anything else coming up, Reba, up there in Chicago? I talked to Mom Evelyn last week. She called in.
Awesome.
And matter of fact, we're going to organize something for that. way before, because before you know it, July will be here.
Yeah, so, Saving Our Youth Day, yeah.
Right.
So I we do have my music producer.
Now, yeah,
we're going to
start planning for that this month.
Okay. Yeah, we have June 24th, 2023, we have a fundraiser at the Grand Ballroom, and it's for business owners. We have vendor tables available. The vendor tables are $50. The plates start at $100. We have VIP tables as well. It's a business owner's fundraiser. So he wants established businesses to come out and we'll share, you know, the more incentives that we have and the levels that are available where people can donate. And so the investment is to acquire land to build, to establish township.
You know what, that group that I sat in on a couple of their phone calls, what, a year or two ago? Are they still are they still together?
Okay. Was that the United Black American Progress Association? May have been that.
I forgot the name. All I know
business
was
organization.
They were trying to. They were talking about getting land themselves a year or two ago.
Okay. Yeah. Now you know what? It dissolved. Baba Will. See, they started out for profit, and my concern was to start off not-for-profit, do a separate entity as a for-profit, but right now, because, you know, for not-for-profit is my lane, so they had done everything from getting certain things established, and you know, it seemed to be going well, but it was, you know, it was dragging.
That's the one thing, matter of fact, in the planning. In the planning, what we need to do with this, and we can discuss this with each group that we organize, is people, most people are patients, so you got to put something together and develop some social proof. Well, I would say within no more than 45 days. 45 days or less. Something's got to be launched, because if you don't launch it within that period of time, 45 days or less, or even 30 days or less, people can go do something. You got something that you can really get into, and you can get some social proof going. We'll discuss this right after we take this break.
And the ones who thought they made it. Listen to this. I want to talk to the short and the tall. This ain't no racial matter. This thing concerns us all. Do you know one thing?
Prices going up and got a sight.
Listen. Charging $3 a half a pound for folk y'all. Man, that ain't right. And put this in your hat and smoke it.
The best of me.
Listen, do you know the only time I feel stink is when I'm looking at a cowboy picture on TV? And you listen to this, if you notice they're charging too much for a
black eye and butter
bean, I can't even afford to put that back in my car. I went to the store the other day and had my basket stacked. Things cost so damn much, I had to throw it all back. How they look for a poor man to get a egg? Say they gonna charge a dollar and a half for a little loaf of bread.
You tell me that ain't crisis.
We got to do something about these
crisis.
Yes, we are. You tell me that ain't inflation. Lord, these prices about to drive me
crazy.
Listen, I think I'll write my congressman and my senator too. I'm going to even call the president, see what can he do. If you go to the store today with $40, the people call you a drag. You can bring that little old fool
back in two little old paper bags. Do you know that? Look here. Have you dug the price of sugar, flour, and meal? Things like that'll make a poor man steal. And they tell you, don't worry about it. We're gonna look out for you. You got a chance. We'll make it up to you with food stamps. Get on up there. God, listen. The Abbey suit today.
Talk about prices, prices.
I'll run you two in the water.
Talk about prices, prices.
The way things are going up.
Talk about prices, prices.
You're going to have to start paying for a drink of water.
Talk about prices, prices.
$75 for a pair of shoes and $50 for a hat. That don't make no damn sense for things to be costing like that. Things is getting so tough, my dog is even scared to bear his bones. When he come back to look for it, some poor joker done dug it up and carried it home. My cat can't find a rat in the alley, all of them packed up and left. He's sitting down eating onions and about to cry himself to death. Talking about prices and prices, y'all.
Prices and prices.
I'm talking about prices and prices.
Prices and prices.
They got to bring them down so we can survive.
Prices and prices.
Do you remember the fuel prices?
Prices and prices.
I used to get in every line I saw. So I could get
prices,
my shit.
Prices,
daylight broke on me one day and I was headed
prices,
for the cemetery. I said, hold it, y'all. I ain't
prices,
going for that.
Prices,
you should have seen me making a U-turn with my
prices,
Cadillac
prices,
and started saying, prices and prices.
Prices and prices.
Bring them down.
Prices and prices.
All right, that was released in 1975, somewhere around there, and it applies today in 2023, prices and crisis. Anyway, so I'm opening up Reba's mic again. All right, Reba, I'll give you a call tonight, and because it's March, and before this weather, it's even kind of cool where I'm at, so... before people get spring fever, because spring break is already started. In any event, Reba, any other thing you want to put out there before we go for today?
Yeah, well, considering the Farmers Network, generally, the delay was to they started out for profit. And I got voted out with starting off as a not-for-profit. That was the delay.
Mm-hmm.
Started off as for-profit and then wanted to convert to not-for-profit. And it was, I had an attorney that would have been able to help with that, but there was, you know, some built-up frustration with the president. He just, you know, other people had other projects going on. But certainly it was an amazing idea. So I'll follow up with
now tell me what was the original idea? What? Because I only listened to only in on two of those calls.
Mm-hmm.
What was the basic idea of it?
So to encourage inner city black farmers and network to build communities, create jobs, and make money. So there was a membership component. Where members could just invest, and you know,
all right. Now let's say how much could the membership be? How much, you know?
We did have a lot of that planned out, but just you know, just to give you an idea, the membership were going to be $100. What was this? 40 hours.
Okay, and then what do you get back for the $40? And what the
$40
is going to be used to do what?
The $100, basically, that it was just an investment, so they would get a percentage of the proceeds from the sale of the produce and so forth.
Was there land already? Did you guys have farms already, or what? Or you want to build up the membership so you want to build up the membership so you can get
Gregory Bratton. Gregory Bratton does have a farm that he's started across the city of Chicago. And so, and I've also visited some of those. So he was actually a consultant that we were going to be reaching out to for the development. We were basically just preparing to present a well-drawn-out plan to present to him. And basically, Mr. Bratton, and you can look him up, Gregory Bratton, B-R-A-T-T-O-N, he actually, he started his own garden, you know, just on his own, you know, and then it grew. And he was also, he had donated soil and a few materials for me to build my garden in Bronzeville. So, yeah, that that was certainly a great resource. Gregory Bratton.
All right.
And,
Richard
Blackman was the attorney I was
going to
refer. Mm-hmm.
Right. Whatever project that you have, you know what I'm thinking? It's got to be, because people want to see instantaneous results almost.
Well, unfortunately, I was voted out, just to give you the heads up. I was voted out of starting off as a not-for-profit. Because keep in mind, you're talking about community involvement, engagement. People do want to see, okay, what's the benefit? What's the benefit? But if you're talking about for-profit, there are so many, many different questions. Like, okay, so it just, it goes off into, it deals off into so many concerns as to, okay, I'm investing my money and, okay, and then you've got, like, what is the ownership percentage and things. Generally, you know, we would have all been members. The idea was structured pretty interesting. We would have been the initial first 100. What do you want?
How big did the group get? Did it ever get near 100?
No. We started off with just our We started off with just our initial members. Keep in mind, so we had the president. I was the vice president, secretary, and treasurer. The problem is, so we had a bank account established. We had the plans all drawn out. We had actually applied for a grant. The concern was, they was like, so when they went off, because mind you, I got voted out of starting off as a not-for-profit, but when they went for the grant, they were like, okay, so we got so far. And it was like, okay, well, yeah, we should go not-for-profit. So to convert, I was like, well, you know, really my area, you know, let's take the wheel. But I was really, at that point, pretty occupied. I think I was still teaching online, but I had UBAPA. Now, that's United Black American Progress Association. So those meetings were clashing, you know, with doing both because the dates changed. I wasn't able to make both meetings. And so there was some discouragement. The president got discouraged. So ultimately, I was called back. And I was told that because everything was in his name as a for-profit. And I was like, well, let's just not. And mind you, this is prior to the fundraiser at the Grand Ballroom. I was like, well, just come on out. And, you know, you could still, you know, invite people to raise funds for your organization. Because originally I had invited several organizations to just come out, donate 50% to the Black Youth Metropolis. And you keep 50%. I have the venue, so you're not out of any money. Just there and invite people. So, yeah, the discouragement was already in place.
All
now,
right,
UBAPA was a for-profit. Let me give you this heads up. Now, they are well established by Dr. Webb Evans. We call him Mr. Black, Mr. By Black. So his encouragement, he transitioned at, I think, 100 years old. He actually started a United American Progress Association. The name was changed when he transitioned. I don't agree with that. he had his reasons of why he wanted a United American Progress Association. Nevertheless, now UBAPA, United Black American Progress Association, is now a not-for-profit So it was converted. Well, it was self-funded, put it that way. So it was self-funded, no government support. And at this point, I don't know, because I've offered grants, but mind you, I don't know if you see the tone, the way that I move, the vibe that I move in. I don't force myself, but the experience that I have is like, I'm not going to force myself. Now we do have a young president for United Black American Progress Associates. But I mentioned that organization because I'm also a member of United Black American Progress Association, and it's thriving. So we did have some members to come out. The president was out at the fundraiser. He's a sax player. He plays a saxophone. He did a few numbers. And a few of the young people who are connected, Mama Evelyn was there. She did a number, two songs, I think. Yeah, so, you know, so we did have, so we engaged in support. I did also, you've probably spoken with another organization that I'm connected to. And that organization is really well structured. It's called National Block Club University. And that's founded by Brother Cyron Smith, who is a former naval officer. So other organizations have taken, like Teamwork Inglewood, they've taken his format, and they have done well. They have done well. They need to give props where props is due, but he actually, National Black Club University, takes donated funds, $1 a month. You know, you can't argue with $1 a month. And so how the work is done is A through, like, let's say A through G. Those households with last names who start off with A through G would actually be on duty to maybe go and visit a senior or to participate if a senior building has an event, or if, like, for my event, you know, it depends on, like, so you don't burn the members out. But we're called twice a year. Yeah, so that's certainly want to get him on if you wouldn't mind getting him on podcast to learn more about that. But he does Facebook Live, so he does. I'll connect you with him as well. So, yeah. So there are certain organizations that I'm connected to that
All right, well.
Yeah.
When I talk to you later, because we need to organize something. Yeah, organize something to keep people's interest, because a lot of people have almost a lottery mindset. They put money in today, they want to see the results soon.
Yeah.
So.
And that's why they were looking forward to that tiny house bill, too. Yeah.
Right. All right, well, I'll give you a call later. On that note, everyone
have
a good rest of the day.